So, hello, Mike Test 1, 2, 3, and yeah, happy 2024, and happy new year to everyone. This is Kage from the Kage Space Podcast, and yeah, new year, new me, or probably another resolution that I won't be able to do. So, yeah, to everyone's surprise, I am uploading a new episode in this podcast. This is not in relation to sponsors to a company that reached out to me. That is not related here. But yeah, I figured since we're getting a lot of traffic in the other podcasts, so I figured why not, you know, keep the ball rolling, give our other listeners there a perspective of me that they don't usually get from that particular show. And yeah, we are going to be talking a lot from this podcast moving forward. We're going to be talking a lot of topics here, ranging from maybe gaming, whatever I'm feeling for the day or whatnot. So it's basically the same old concept of anything under the sun, but we're going to be expanding with one more subjects, and I'm going to be looking for guests moving forward. So if you guys want to talk to me about something, feel free to pitch in your ideas and whatnot, and let's see, we can schedule you guys. And yeah, with that out of the way, so for this particular episode, I have a friend with me. I've known this guy for quite some time now, like decades, right, dude? But yeah, allow me to introduce my guest here. Do you want me to say your real name, or you just want the name that you're using in like gaming or random communities?
Pseudonym,
okay. Let's just use Sojilo here. So, Sojilo, it's nice to have you here once again, man. And how are you this fine 2024?
Yes. Just like what you're going to say, 2024. Normally, people would say New Year, New Me, but nah. I'll just put that on. I have some list that I'm telling myself, but it's a lie that I keep telling myself. But anyways, mostly I'm fine and kind of busy at work and career games, the academic department.
Congrats on the new love life. I just hope the rest of our
circle. Maybe that's the new aspect of my 2024, probably.
It's all maybe good, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good way to start your year, your relationships moving forward and whatnot. But that's not the topic for this particular discussion. That's probably the February one. But
launching her yet? not yet.
That's okay, man. All good. But yeah, for this particular episode, though, we're gonna be primarily talking about the strange thing that's been happening in the gaming sphere as of late. So we're going to be talking about different topics and subjects that occurred for the past couple of months. And we're just trying to condense it in like a pretty short format so our listeners won't be overwhelmed with the information. And, you know, let's just go in a relaxed and okay pace. So for starters, how familiar are you with the idea of region hopping? Or how aware are you with the whole region hopping kind of thing?
Region hopping?
Yeah, so in case you don't know, basically when I say region hopping, let's say since we're residing in the Philippines, we're just using our scenario. Since we don't have like a dedicated front store from Nintendo, Xbox, PlayStation, we're kind of forced into this spot where we create our accounts, our PSN accounts rather, from different regions, primarily the U.S., the R1s, primarily US, Canada, R2, Japan, okay. Other parts, Region 3, Asia primarily, and all that other shit. And what is your thoughts about the whole being forced to, you know, create an account for a particular service or platform just to, you know, buy games digitally?
Well, I think that's on the point of view of the platform providers or these games and service providers, I think it's a fair, I'd call that, it's a fair business model for them. Although for us players, it hurts because I have an experience before. I have to register somewhere in Tokyo, Japan, in order for me to purchase Saint Quartz for my FGO Japan account a few years back.
Good old days, man. Good old days.
And then I think there are other if you want to be on the, especially in mobile games, mobile got those US servers or particularly Japanese servers. If you want to get the content faster than the global version is, you need to register on their own domain or in their own countries.
I see. So you have a fair amount of experience with regards to the whole concept of jumping to a different region just to get access to a particular game and, you know, maybe get some deals along the way, perhaps?
Yes. And also, it's one of the commonly or most commonly used hack in Pokemon Go, right? You know, imagine that you're at the comfort of your home, but your Pokemon Go says that you are walking, you are outside.
Yeah, I mean, it's like one of those ways to bypass certain things. But
yes,
the topic for this particular part of the episode is, not sure if you're familiar with the whole scenario with Argentina right now, but to the audio listeners who are listening right now and to those who aren't in the recording at the moment. So there's this thing that's been going on with countries that have really bad economy as of late. So primarily the two main ones are Argentina and of course Turkey. So their currency is so low to the point that even us guys in we're people or primarily Western people consider us like third world countries for the most part can get like really good deals for a really low amount. So to give like a good example, let's say I want to buy Tekken 7 Definitive Edition, which goes with DLCs and whatnot. If you're gonna be buying it from let's say like a physical store or maybe something, it's going to cost you still a pricey amount even though the next number entry is going to come out. You're still going to be shelling a lot. But let's say I buy from Turkey. It's just going to cost me, I don't know, maybe almost 300 pesos after taxes and whatnot.
So basically, price difference on those two countries you mentioned.
Yeah, that's like...
They're cheaper there compared buying here or in other countries.
Yeah, it's way cheaper there because their economy is so bad that even though you see a lot of zeros there in the platform, if you convert it USD-wise to peso, it isn't that much of a pain in the ass.
So you mean they're even lower than Indonesia?
Yeah, the rates there are so low that I managed to buy one game at 1.41 peso, literally. I bought it from my Switch. It's called Nexomon, and it's a fairly decently sized Pokemon clone for that price. And I just usually go region hop if there's like a sale or something, and where I like spend 1,000 pesos and get. Buy like maybe 5 or 7 games that are like really cheap there. But sometimes, do you consider what I'm doing and me and other people obviously considered as greed, or just one of those things that people are just trying to be smart with their money, or we're just too tight-fisted with our wallets or some shit?
Even our shitty economy situation right now in the Philippines, I think it's just being smart.
I mean, technically, we're still getting those games legally.
Yes, we're getting legal copies, legit copies. And I'm not sure, are we helping their economy by buying there?
So, technically, we are helping their economy in a bit because we're using their currency and whatnot. But the different thing is that when you're the platform owner per se, since I mentioned the Switch earlier, Nintendo earlier, let's just focus on Nintendo for now. Actually, it also affects other platforms, but the most common one or the most abused one, as far as I'm aware of, is the Nintendo one.
Yeah, I mean, so, as a Steam user, I haven't heard of it. So I think I've heard some few instances that they say, hey, let's switch to this country. But I think Steam has a roundabout way of doing that. I'm not sure if you are buying using your Steam account.
No. But sometimes that depends. Eh. Let's say Steam, as far as I know, it's like it detects your region, basically.
Yes, I know.
So you're pretty much region locked, basically, and they check your IP. So it's kind of hard to bypass that unless you use a VPN and other means, basically. It's a bit more roundabout. But for Switch, at the time prior, before they decide to use the own, before Nintendo considered using certain actions, back then, you just need to use a Visa card, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically tax-free. So that's why I was able to get a game for like 1 peso, and that game is a decently sized one for that.
Wow. Imagine getting a game for that price. Imagine that.
Yeah, but and of course, Nintendo is aware that the country that Argentina is pretty fucked economy wise, so they're wondering what's with the influx of people buying a shit ton of games.
Yeah.
So what they did initially is they decided to block every other foreign card. So they only accept local cards that were issued there, because realistically, it's pretty difficult to get like cards and credit cards in Argentina for the most part, as far as I'm aware, or based on what I've seen on Reddit and people complaining there. But yeah. And recently, there's this hack. I wouldn't say really hack. It's more of like a roundabout way of buying there. For the most part, when the local cards thing was announced and people and the Nintendo eShop for Argentina has been rejecting foreign cards, people have been like migrated to South Africa, Chile, and other countries basically that are cheaper, and Mexico. And I don't know, maybe Nintendo isn't as tight to visit with those particular countries, but I'm pretty sure they're kind of like aware of what's going on, but they're a bit more lenient towards there because their economy isn't as bad per se.
Okay.
So there's like, it's more of like a combination of random communities like trying to get info from one another. So this particular roundabout way that I'm talking about was actually discovered by the Xbox guys. So there's this thing called I believe it was Latin Pay or something. It's basically an app where you just download it, upload a valid ID. What I'm understanding is they're using a passport. And using your passport, you just register there. And from there, you just use any online wallet, buy some USD, and convert it to Argentinian peso. And from there, you link the e-wallet or the e-card that you have from Latin Pay to your Nintendo Switch account. That's under Argentina. And from there, you can buy games there. Now, back... Now, the thing is, you're pretty much forced to pay tax now because you're using local currency. And realistically, it's still way cheaper compared to the other markets, surprisingly enough. But now there's this thing that happened like a few months ago. Some guy here in the Nintendo groups in the Philippines, rather, is still saying, sharing like a post that the price is doubled. People locally can't buy the games now because they're way too expensive, especially the Nintendo licensed ones or the first party ones, rather. Which I kind of get because Nintendo is wondering why the influx of people being able to buy these games even though their economy is really bad. Maybe we just double our prices or some shit like that.
Yes, probably they're wondering, hey, we don't really have much audience or player base in Argentina. Why the sudden increase?
Yeah, they're wondering why. So there's like a huge influx of digital stores and whatnot. So instead of like being locally priced, they kind of like bump the market to the point where locals are having difficulty paying for it or trying to get them. Now,
flow in the supply and demand.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I guess it's more of like a Nintendo being greedy kind of thing, in my opinion.
Probably.
But they're probably wondering, yeah, what's with the huge influx of people paying? But the losers here are definitely the locals. Because, yeah, you're paying like twice the amount. I mean, as for some of them, I think it's like it's way cheaper if they go to the US eShop or some shit. Because it's way cheaper there compared to paying it locally.
So basically, it's a win-win for us who are using those bypass. But the locals are suffering from that.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like what's happening with Turkey as well. For the Sony PS1, what our people are doing is like they're using cryptocurrency, buy currency, convert it to Turkish lira, and from there use that on move it to an online wallet, and whatever that online wallet is, you're gonna be using that to your PSN, and then you buy those games and whatnot. So it's kind of like it also became like a fucking business here in the Philippines as well. Are you familiar with the term pasabay?
Yes.
So to the listeners here who don't know, to the listeners who are tuning in here and you don't know what that meant, basically, you create, let's say, an online, an email, a dedicated email for it. You give it to a guy who's offering services where he's going to be using his payment methods that's been like approved or proven tested or whatever. Use create a Nintendo or Sony or whatever account for you. And from there, they use their cards and they buy, basically, the games for you for, like, a certain fee. And it isn't really that much if you think about it. And it's still way cheaper compared to buying physical games, even though they're secondhand copies at this point. Especially for the really old ones. I mean, the fucking Switch is, like, what, 6 or 7 years old now at this point? Damn, that thing is fucking old. But
possibly, yeah. That, I first encountered that term on toy collection hobbies like Nendoroids. I usually saw those terms.
Well, yeah, I mean, technically, for the hobby side of things, or for figure-wise, for the most part, you're just asking someone to buy you that copy since your location, or rather, they're just asking you to buy that. I'll pay you. I'll pay you. Just get me that item now. Those kind of things. But for particular the console side of things, yes, yeah, you're literally just hiring someone to buy you shit, and yes, you just pay them for the value of the game plus their service fee, for it isn't, which isn't that much.
I think it's similar to an odd job I had before, a bit a long time ago, around early 2000s. Since my home during that time was in a far away place from the Viet Center, so there was this thing that we pay the bills of our neighbors, and then instead of them paying it for himself, but we charge them a certain amount. So, but for them it's cheaper, and it's also for them it's instead that they go them themselves. One person will do the collecting, so a few people and pay in behalf of them.
Oh, so the Gcash kind of thing, basically.
More Gcash exchange, right.
You're just like asking maybe, what, 5% of the amount that they want to have or
something? Yeah, for example, let's just say the back and forth transpo fee from that place to the bill center, like it's like 50 pesos. We'll just collect around like half of it.
Oh, okay. You're still earning those, so...
Yeah, and it's a win-win for them because they won't waste time.
Yeah, that's a scenario going on. But the thing is, just because of this, those platforms are like putting in safeguards, or rather, they don't want their system to be abused because they want to earn as much as possible.
Yep, like all companies does.
Yeah, but I don't know. The locals are fucked, but other countries that are well off are like advantageous. I guess this is like what it feels like to be a first world country.
It makes us the bad guys, you know?
It makes us feel like the bad guys are at the same time, but realistically, I don't know. I guess this is coming from us Filipinos, since we don't really have like a dedicated platform that we can use.
Yes. I'm just reading the Reddit thread regarding this issue. Yeah, I think someone voiced out here that we don't have your Nintendo eShop in Philippines doesn't exist the moment.
Yeah, we don't have like an eShop for the Philippines. Actually, along with the Xbox and PlayStation as well.
Yes.
I kind of understand the whole the side with PlayStation because realistically, our country is well known for piracy. I mean, back then, the PS1 era, it isn't as bad, but during the PS2 era, holy shit.
We need a crewmate of Jack Sparrow to be born here to make it really legit.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty difficult for Sony to consider maybe a product risk or whatever, but realistically, nowadays, especially with a lot of millennials, and we have like the money to burn, kind of, to realistically justify a Sony PH front store. I think Nintendo is like planning in the works because I'm pretty sure they can see in their data that there are a lot of Philippine cards buying from different countries, for sure. Yeah.
No, statistics don't lie.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that we're the bad guys here, but the situation demands that like we don't really have much of a choice because getting games digitally is like way cheaper compared to getting them physically, especially Nintendo cartridges. I'm not sure if you're...
We have our reasons because we have our own problems. For example, we don't have the eShop. So we Filipinos wants to buy the game. So we find other ways. So part of our culture, what is card culture?
Resource.
Resourcefulness, yes.
Yeah. Not Tagalog speaking listeners.
Discard means resourcefulness.
Yeah, or... But yeah, it's one of those things that I don't know. It's kind of like there's no good workaround for this. Just want to say sorry for the Argentinian guys. You're screwed. But for the majority of the player base here, the Philippines, if they have a fucking passport, chances are they're gonna still be buying games in your region for cheap.
They might find another, you know.
Nah, at the moment, Argentina is like the go-to. Yeah, but that's about it. But if you have that like, the capacity to do so, I say buy from other countries. If you can buy from first world ones, usually Nintendo doesn't give a fuck because they get more money out of them. But this is what it is. Yeah. So since we mentioned about owning a game and piracy. I'm sure you're more aware of this than me, and I don't have much of the details for this one, but do you know what's the recent statement of Ubisoft with regards to a game that they released? I don't know which one this is.
Right, I just saw some shortened statement. Probably they those game pages emphasize they only emphasize the parts what the people from Ubisoft said, but they said that we gamers should be prepared or should accept the fact that we should not own the games in the future. That's the main statement.
Can you elaborate? What did they mean by not owning games anymore?
Probably if we heard about Stadia and you know, that one live service of Google where you don't own the game really, but you can stream it. You don't need to download the game, you just need to be online. I think it has that similar pattern, a business model. Where, hey, or maybe it's like a permanent Game Pass or what is Game Pass doing right now? Ubisoft might be moving to that kind of move, probably.
So, what you're telling me, or based on the content that you've said earlier, we're going to be paying games for a set amount, maybe full price or whatever. But we don't have like an actual license that we own a particular copy, so we're just going to be end up streaming it in a way. That's pretty shit.
Right. I'm just checking the exact details here. Ubisoft claims that most in 2023, 95% of video game revenue will come from digital titles. So I think that's their standard. So it's probably gonna hurt physical collectors. They might move to 100% digital, probably.
Well, it's more profitable on their end. I mean, people, I mean, first world countries and the Westerners, for the most part, don't really enjoy physical copies as much, I guess, aside from the collector's side of things. I don't know. Maybe we're just poor ass third world country people that physical media is still king here. Even though some digital markets are like more profitable, I guess, or more enjoyable. But realistically, I think physical media is still here to stay, even though chances are most companies will be dropping soon moving forward. Dropping soon. It's kind of one of those futures that we're pretty much fucked. I mean, I'm a physical collector. To those of you who aren't aware, if you check like my social media or my IG, you're going to be seeing a lot of physical copies there. And this scares me the most, like this particular future, because even because stores can just literally remove a particular game or some shit because, I don't know, maybe a political is correct, something, someone is affiliated with this bullshit. Some games that are entitled or ingrained in history are being affected because of certain reasons. And companies have like the capacity to easily just remove them from their libraries, even though technically you own it if you pay it. But if there's going to be a future that we won't own these games, even though that we paid for them, it's a bit shitty.
Well, yeah. So going over the article.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, going over the article as a whole, yes. So we just confirm, it's all about Ubisoft ditching physical copies in favor of physical copies in favor of digital ones. And they base it on their statistics on their sales of their games. Probably Steam has a lot of data that provided it.
Well, definitely Steam is going to be a part of this because there's a lot of PC gamers out there.
But, I mean, yeah, to be honest, I'm a Steam user for quite some time and I'm really strictly adhering to Steam-only policy. So I'm a digital collector myself, but I'm open. I dream I might have a goal of having my PlayStation 5 probably next year or two. So, yeah, I need those physical copies as well.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we grew up primarily in the same era. You're slightly older than me for a few years. Yeah. But
I mean, I've been a physical copy collector before. So it's just that due to my certain circumstances, not having a permanent home yet. So it's not logically wise for you to get stuck up in physical blocks. But once I have those personal space in mind, probably I'll be getting some physical copies for my PlayStation 5 soon.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, so those things that it's kind of a bit shitty. I mean, the transition, the future of the market is like pretty meh for us guys. Primarily, I guess, let's talk about the Philippine settings in general. Realistically, thankfully, we are what you consider maybe lower middle income or sort of middle income-ish compared to everyone else in this country. But let's say if you're one of the lower side guys, managed to secure a console for saving for so long, and you don't really have access to really good internet, because internet is still fucking expensive here in the Philippines.
Yes.
And the idea of paying for an electric bill because you don't have much internet, I do not have fast internet, of course you're going to be spending way more on electricity because you're going to be downloading a huge file. And files nowadays are pretty scary. To the point.
Yes. And they say GTA 6 might have 500 gigabytes of files.
Yeah, imagine if you have, let's say, a 20 Mbps internet plan.
It's going to take you almost a day. It's a day, actually.
It's going to take you a day's worth of downloading. And sometimes internet connection is like a common thing here, so influx, it's gonna influx or other that kind of bullshit. And sometimes Sony has this thing where if there's no connection for a certain amount of time, it's gonna corrupt your the file that you initially downloaded. So you're going to be restarting the process all over again. You're going to be spending way more on your utilities and on your
bullshit. That's the situation for PlayStation.
Back then, not sure if this is still the same nowadays. I'm one of those assholes that have like 200 Mbps download speed. But that's just me strong arming my provider because I've been with them for a long ass time now. That they gave me like a really good deal for a really good price.
Well, they brought publicly tells us it's 200 Mbps, but we all know that's just 10%. Converted if they convert it to megabytes per second, not megabits.
I don't know, man. I've checked my downloads and
should be around 200 Mbps should be like 20 Mbps per second. Megabytes per second.
I don't know. I downloaded like a huge file for my PS5 and it's just like a few minutes. So
I don't know, maybe it depends on the server where you are downloading. I think game servers can give leeways. For example, Steam, I can go over my usual download speeds.
Yeah, but we're getting a bit too technical here. But yeah, realistically, people or most people here in the Philippines who can kind of afford to buy the actual machine but want to play digitally, but they don't really have the internet capacity to do so.
I think most average Pinoys, I think I saw a survey about most those who are not beyond the middle class level, I think they only have right 20 or 50 Mbps connections at most.
Dude, if you have maybe 50 Mbps, you're gonna be paying for like what, 2,000 or 3,000 pesos per month?
Well, mine, if it's a reveal, mine is like 1.7, but it's 150 Mbps at the moment.
Well, that depends on your.
If it's fiber or if it's DSL, oh my god, that's a different case.
I don't know. I mean, I think people have transitioned to fiber here at this point, but yeah, there are like some companies that's still offering DSL, those kind of rates. Yeah. Because it's more kind of accessible, but realistically, you would prefer fiber connection at this point. And
DSL is congested, so it's so congested.
Yeah. Or if you can have 5G connectivity at this point, because it's pretty much a staple now, because you're pretty much there's a lot of remote work abilities.
Okay. Yeah, so moving on now. So there we go. You'll be so really intense to. Be one of the first company to probably shift to digital only if they push this agenda of theirs.
Yeah, that's gonna be shit for everyone. There's still like a huge collector's mark. There's like a huge collector base everywhere in the world. And sadly, but I think Japan is gonna be one of the fewer ones now because a lot of people prefer the digital market. But they are still like offering physical copies of certain titles. I don't know. Maybe it's just their culture, I guess. But I don't know. This is primarily a Western thing. Hopefully, we don't get fucked over here for the most part. But yeah, we pray.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just one of those things that I don't know. Well, let's see what the future holds. But
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, but as of now, I'm on digital, so I won't say I will not be affected. But becomes a different scenario once I consider getting the consoles.
Yeah, that's going to be a different scenario because especially if you get the PS5 Slim models, I think they have the tendency, they have like, you have to connect to the internet per se just to register your fucking hard drive or DVD drive or your Blu-ray disc reader.
Right.
You have to register that to the internet. And sometimes if you, let's say, maybe a few years have passed and you don't have access to the internet and you can't, like, connect your damn platform because sometimes that happens. It's going to be a bit shitty, especially if you're paying a pretty huge amount. But since we mentioned piracy, what are your thoughts about people like that are pretty okay with piracy now at this point? Because what Ubisoft have kind of, like, really pushed...
Yes, you're
so
gonna push people to the high seas.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing with movies, apparently. I think I forgot which platform it was, but there's this one part. I think it's also Sony as well, I believe, or it's affiliated with Sony. That if you bought a movie digitally,
technically you kind of own it, but as it turns out, you don't. So you don't have access to that movie that you bought in your library anymore.
What?
Yeah, it's kind of like the rental kind of scenario, rental scenario kind of thing.
This concept's kind of bullshit, by the way. I mean, I don't have problems with subscription-based services as long
yeah, but the thing
is,
if you
are offline, you'll be able to still play or download them.
Yeah, but the thing is, the scenario was like, correct me if I'm wrong to the listeners, because I kind of like skim through it, but the whole scenario is that there's this particular store where you bought a movie digitally. So by extension, you kind of own a copy, or
yeah,
it's part of your permit. I believe
you like to download it.
Yeah, so you can like watch it at any time and whatnot. But yeah, due to some licensing issues, some bullshit, license ends obviously for certain for shows for platforms. Obviously,
you can only watch it once.
I mean, you can watch it during a certain period, but they, since they pulled it out, even though the people who bought it are can't access it anymore and whatnot, it's.
Yeah,
it's pretty much a scam. It kind of feels like a scam, but it's kind of like what's going through with some platforms
so
as well.
They may strong arm some legalities to make it not look like a scam on their end.
I don't know. It's an America kind of thing with regards to e-commerce and other bullshit. I think our country is like pretty young with regards to handling shit like this. So it's going to be.
So now they can have legal. Papers behind it. We consumers pretty much don't have any say about it.
Yeah, those Westerners are scammed. I don't think Filipinos have bought that particular movie or whatever. To the listeners, please let us know. So we can be like further educated or informed about this matter. But yeah, because of things like this, yeah, people are like checking out the high seas at this point. And what are your thoughts about piracy in general with regards to companies are strong arming these kinds of moves?
Well, I'm glad I'm using my pseudonym right on that's on this point in time. All right, so I'm not gonna be a hypocrite. I'm gonna say that yes, as I should say, I've been sailing the heights for quite some time now. So I'm gonna give Jasper a run for his money for the long time. There's no new Pirates of the Caribbean at the moment. So anyway, it's a mixed feelings because we, especially here of our, not just Philippines, maybe our neighboring sea countries, will probably say we don't really have enough money or our economy is fucked up. So things that we want for pleasure, we want to get it for free as much as possible. So those are the main reasonings of every people who pirates. I want the game, but I don't want to pay for it because it's for them. It's not practical. They'd rather spend it on practical things like the bills, food, and other needs of a person's according to Maslow.
Yeah, I mean, this is like a primarily not a first world problem, obviously.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't really like a first world kind of thing because there are some instances that you can't get this media legitimately anymore. A good example is, let's say, I want to play, what's a good retro game that you can't buy in stores anymore? Let's say I wanted to play Suikoden 1 and 2 or the whole Suikoden franchise for that matter.
Yeah, PS1 game.
Yeah, I mean from the PS1, PS2 era.
Yes.
Some old school stores. Let's say when it happens, because it's gonna happen, because maintaining a server for us old store isn't that profitable for certain companies. Let's say. So
yes.
So let's just say I want to play Suikoden. I want to play Suikoden legally, but buying a physical copy of it is fucking expensive. I believe they're
considered collection right now.
Yeah, it's in my collection right now, and I have a Japanese copy because it's cheaper than getting the US one. But if you're, let's say, like a common consumer or just wanted to play this particular team legally, but you don't have access to it, you're pretty much like forced to piracy at that point because no one is selling it. Konami's
those wrong sites.
Yeah, it's one of those parts that you're pretty much screwed over since you can't like play like certain games and whatnot. Especially, there's a lot of really good Japanese games that were never translated or officially translated or sold legally or sold elsewhere in the world. So we have like dedicated ROM hackers. There's like a pre-established community about it, and it's one of those parts that you're kind, you know, it's wrong. Kind of, there's like a gray area in this particular thing. Some companies are actually encouraging piracy, kind of in a way, but it's one of those fucked up stuff that you can't really do much about it. And I don't know. I guess I don't know. Maybe my stance right now is, if a company is still supporting it, I will not jump to pirating or emulating those particular platforms. So PS regeneration and below, yeah, that's pretty much free sailing at that point. But well, yeah. PS4 onwards, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be part of the guys who's going to be doing that thing, even though the jailbreaking community of the PS4 is going pretty hard right now.
I mean, at this point, I'd rather emulate PS3 and below. But PS4, since I got plans for getting a PS5, since it has backward compatibility with PS4, so nah, I'm not going to try an emulator for PS4.
Yeah. Also, to those of you listeners who are like trying to get into retro or something, as much as possible, if you're just gonna be doing it for this pay purposes or whatever, just buy a fucking Japanese copy of a game. It's way cheaper. It looks good on the shelf. You don't have to pay.
And translate.
Yeah, and you know, just emulate the fucking thing. Use translation, and sometimes emulation bumps and whatnot. Those kinds of things, but.
Yeah, there are some games that are released only in Japanese. You know, like the visual novel style of Suikoden Gaiden.
Yeah, you're pretty much forced to emulation with it, especially the PSP one. There's like a fully English translated patch of it right now, so it's like a good thing in a bad way, I guess. Persona 2 Eternal Punishment for the PSP. There's an English patch for it now, so those kinds of things. But yeah, I believe we've been going. This topic has been too long now, and I believe we should wrap things up. Closing thoughts, Sojiro, for the topic, the topics that we've talked about so far.
All right. So since we focus particularly on games and on their economics, probably, so it's a mix of bad situation for us consumers, since these companies. Are trying to shake our community. They've been doing it for so long, but they're still continuing to shake us with those kind of schemes of theirs, especially that one from Ubisoft. So for me, it's like, you know, if you can relate it to One Piece, it's like Gold Roger saying, it's the great age of pirates has begun.
It's gonna be way worse compared to
find the One Piece or find the pirate size. He who gets them all becomes the winner. Something like that.
So what you're saying is buy a shit ton of external hard drives and start saving those.
Well, I'm not openly saying that they should walk that way. But like for me, I do pirate games, but and then I consider it as a tip. So when they go insane, I try to buy the legit copy now.
Well, technically, you're still supporting the company by that point. So,
yeah.
Okay, fair point. As for me, my closing thoughts, I'm really hating this digital transition. It's pretty much an inevitability. Probably we still have physical media maybe for the next 10, 15 years at most, by the looks of things. And
I don't think Sony will follow suit on what Ubisoft suggested.
I don't know. People are really enjoying digital transactions, and oftentimes these companies often check out the Western markets or America in general because, you know, big money, fat people, big wallets, those kind of things. So they're going to be using that as like a benchmark, and from there, they're going to be slowly applying that to different countries. Maybe the Japanese market will stay physical to some degree, or some Asian markets. I hope that's the case, so I can still like get physical copies of IPs that I like. Especially, I'm going to be buying Eiyuden Chronicle twice. I supported it on Kickstarter, and I'm going to be buying another physical copy because fuck that. But yeah. Just want to say thank you to Sojito for coming in and helping me with my relaunch of my podcast. Is there anything that you want to promote or shout out or whatever?
I'm like an introvert who just got out of his man cave. Because this topic is very close, since we are been long time mates, especially in the gaming and in the web industry.
All good, man. And yeah, thank you for dropping by and helping me out with this one. As for me, you can follow me on my socials, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, just look for Kaga Space. I also have a comedy podcast called Buzzwords Podcast, where we pretty much rant about whatever topic we talk about, basically, in our other bullshit. So if you guys want a few good laughs, feel free to check them out. If you want to help support the podcast financially, if you can, I'm not forcing anyone who aren't capable of, which is okay. We have our own responsibilities and whatnot. You can donate to my PayPal, and I also have GCash for options, so there'll be in the description below. And yeah, that's a wrap for this episode, and catch you guys on the next one. Bye!